Hey there, I'm Jade.
And I'm Josh, and on this episode of Our Taste is Trash,
we review the video game-turned movie Five Nights at Freddy's,
discuss Johnny Depp's visit to Ireland,
and talk Jade's latest recs.
So remember to rate, review, and follow wherever you listen.
Stick around.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome into another episode of Our Taste is Trash. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jade.
And Jade, there is so much I feel like to talk about. So much has happened this week. You know what I didn't do, but it yet happened here in Dublin again. I'm excited, Jade. Like, Dublin is a place apparently for celebrities and movies. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's a major city.
It is. Sometimes, you know what's funny, is sometimes you fucking forget that living here, because it seems like a little town. Like, Dublin is one of those cities that just feels like a little town for some reason. I don't know if it's just the neighborhoods. Maybe it's just the lack of like super tall buildings. I don't know what it is. But like, Jade, I should have on Friday gone down into Dublin. Apparently there were thousands of people in Dublin for Shane McGowan's funeral. And I had to look this up. I was a little ashamed to say that I didn't know immediately who this was. Apparently he was the lead singer of the Pogues. Like, that's who he was. So big deal here in Dublin, obviously. It's a major band. They have, I feel like I've heard that, you know, that Christmas song they have? I forget what it is, but it's like, it's Christmas Eve, babe. And it like goes on and on. You know, like,
I know the Pogues.
I've heard that in like every shopping center here in Dublin, like over and over again. They play that. So apparently he died, which is tragic, but Johnny Depp was here. Johnny Depp was here in Dublin.
That's all the hubbub.
Yeah. So like, he attended the funeral and was actually, I didn't realize he was this close with Sean McGowan. He was actually one of the pallbearers for the casket.
Wow.
So I guess they were like really, really good friends. Johnny was like,
probably from his Viper Room days.
Oh God.
Back when he was in his band P, Flea was the bassist.
Do you think they played? They probably played together at one point, right?
Oh, 100%. I guarantee you Flea was probably there too. And I guarantee you, there was also, what was that guy from the Butthole Surfers? He was also
part of P.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't remember the fucking name. Jesus Christ, that brings me back.
Yeah.
Butthole Surfer. I remember that name in a fucking forever. But you know, dude, the fucking funeral looked, I mean, it looked as Irish and rad as fuck as you could get. Like, literally,
sounds about right.
The rest of the band was there from the Pogues. They were fucking like playing in the church at the fucking funeral. Sick. People were dancing like in the fucking aisles. Like, it was
Looked
fucking sick. I was like, God,
that's
damn.
What I want.
Like, yeah.
I wanted to be a party.
Amazing. Like I said, I didn't realize how large that band was here, but like, they were showing the shots from downtown Dublin, and it was like from the middle of Dublin.
Because if you think,
there were thousands of people there.
It's very small. So anytime they have a celebrity, it's massive. So it's like, you know, that's musicians and actors and like,
Jade, I feel beloved. Like, I feel like I am 5 degrees of separation away from Colin Farrell. Colin, like, I have heard his name.
Listen, find me Paul Mescal. And
no, I have seriously heard Colin Farrell's name like 3 or 4 times. Like, just in the couple of weeks I've been living here, like, someone's like, oh yeah, I used to have a house over here. Like, one of my other coworkers, they're like, oh yeah, like, I know my cousin used to go to fucking school with him, and he lives like, his original house is like 3 stories down from mine. And I was like, I need to make this a mission. I need to meet fucking Colin Farrell or something, because he's somewhere.
Liam Neeson. I think, is Michael Fassbender Irish or Scottish?
I don't know, actually.
He's Irish because James McAvoy is Scottish. And then
James McAvoy is Scottish. That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. Barry Keegan from Saltburn.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I still haven't watched. Is everyone watching Saltburn? Is everyone? And I just haven't done it yet.
Yes. Well, it's weird because I had known about Saltburn obviously for a while, and I thought it was going to be like something that flew under the radar. Like, I was like, oh, no one's going to know what this is, no one's going to like watch it, and then it's going to win a bunch of Oscars. And then all of a sudden I there must be the press tour with Jacob Elordi and Barry Keoghan, and like the fact that everyone's like, they're secretly in love, which honestly, yeah, probably. Yeah. Have you seen Josh?
No, I haven't seen it.
chemistry is off the charts.
Oh,
off the fucking charts. And then they played into it recently at an event, and they played like Gay Chicken, which by the way, that's just a reference to Scrubs, guys. I'm not trying to be like offensive.
No, wait.
But
Jade. I remember
Gay Chicken. Yeah. Like literally, and they did it on the carpet, and I was like, they want to do it so bad. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes. And at one point, Barry.
I don't know, Jade. I don't know if I trust your opinion 100% because you're always the queen of and kiss.
And kiss.
And kiss.
Because once people get close enough, I'm like, I don't know.
Just do it. Just the chemistry. You could
okay,
see
but
it.
No joke, Josh. I'm not. There was an interview with Barry Keoghan where literally the guy asked him about like the rumors of him and Jacob Elordi, and he was like, "I wish I could be so lucky." And there was a moment where it's like, at first you think like it's a joke, but then he kind of like pauses and like looks down, and then like contemplates, and I'm like, oh man. So, and the thing is everyone's like, no, it's not true because Jacob has a girlfriend and Barry has a girlfriend who has they have a kid together.
You
and
know
I was
who
like,
else, you know who else had girlfriends and wives? Brokeback Mountain.
Also, you know, people can be bisexual, right?
That is true. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You can like them at the same. Also, you know, you can also like more than one person at the same time.
That is 100% true. Yeah.
Be the same sex. Anyways. I'm here for it if it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I don't want to break up a family. Sorry, Barry, but you know.
I mean, it's Hollywood. They're not real people. It's fine.
Okay, but nothing creeps me out more than fanfics
of
real people.
It's
like a fanfic of fictional characters is one thing, but fanfics of real people kind of creep me out.
I'm even like, I get into a little bit of the erotic pornography literature, and like even the real people stuff freaks me out. Like it's too real. Like I don't want
the
that.
The After Movies was literally a fanfic of Harry Styles, and it gives me the heebie-jeebies because like
it's just
I couldn't imagine being Harry Styles knowing that this was a story that someone wrote about me. Like, I'd be like,
it's weird.
Out.
It's weird. Odd. It's Well, Jade, I have to ask you before we move on. What do you think of Taylor Swift being the person of the year according to Time?
First of all, I don't know what that means. And second of all, even though I don't know what it means, I don't think she deserved it.
Jade, all the TikTok girlies are talking about it because she has the picture with her cat over her shoulder that they're all trying to duplicate. And then, you know, she thanked Kenny Chesney for basically
that
helping
make her
career.
Quote unquote quote unquote relatable.
Relatable. Because you know? She has cats, like, you know, like people do. Yeah. And then she really apparently laid the smackdown on Kim Kardashian for that whole tape, that doctored tape from a while back.
Listen. We all knew that Kim and Kanye faked that shit, but the fact that Taylor still won't let it go, like, girl, it's been so long. Like, move on.
I feel like people have forgotten about it, though. I feel like, because if you weren't in it at the time, I feel like people have forgotten about it.
But that's what I'm saying. We've all forgotten about it, which means it's not relevant anymore. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, that song is so old. Like, Kim's not even with Kanye
I forgot about
anymore.
The song, to be honest. Like, I fucking forgot about the song. I didn't even remember
that
song existed.
That's what I'm saying. So the fact that she brought it up again, I'm like, this girl can't fucking let anything die. That's why she writes all these songs, hate songs about her exes. And that's why she, like, she can't get over fucking shit, which, like, I mean, good for her, I guess, because she's monetized the fuck out of it. Like, she's got money in the bank.
You know what? I was looking at this earlier because I was unsure of her net worth. What do you think her net worth is right now?
Oh my God. She's got to be maybe $600-700 million.
No, you know what? She has entered the ranks of the big boys, the billionaires.
Oh, she's a billionaire?
$1.1 billion is her estimated
net
worth.
Then I automatically, that's a
when you cross that threshold, when you cross that threshold, you're a terrible person, right? Like, when,
I don't
once,
like you.
Once you make billions of dollars,
sorry,
you're
terrible. That's T-Swift, Rihanna, Beyonce, a couple of the Kardashians.
The only name that makes me feel sad there is Rihanna, because I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, Rihanna's music, I have a special place in my heart for that.
Yeah, but she's a business mogul now. And in order for her to make $1 billion off of her company, that means that people are not paid or sharing in profits.
I want to imagine that Rihanna's a decent person, though. Like, I want to keep that in my head.
Sure. But here's the thing is when you own a company, you are now responsible for every single aspect of that company, including production. So you can't just go, well, I don't know what these factories or what these warehouses and labs are paying their people. I just cut them a check. Like, that's not my responsibility. Yes, it is, bitch. They're producing your shit at a cheap ass price and you don't question why.
We all know little children are making our t-shirts. We all know that.
Yeah, I know. Duh. But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, it's, I don't, terrible, look at Nike and the owner of Nike and I'm like, I worship you. But like,
well, it's because he's a terrible person.
Exactly. But people look at Rihanna and Taylor Swift and Beyonce and be like, oh my God, I worship you. And I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah. I don't buy into celebrity, like,
they make much money off of the backs of other people. I mean, that's what all businesses are, but like the fact that they're able to garner $1 billion, at least in net worth, means that they are not profit sharing, which means that they are essentially stealing money.
I like this change. Yeah, I like the side of you, because like I also like, even though I want to have a soft spot in my heart for some of these like celebrities, like they're, no, you know, yeah.
Like, look, I watch the Kardashians, but like,
they're terrible. Them. But they're terrible people. We know
they're people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's exactly it. It's like, yeah, I can look at them objectively and be like, look, they're entertaining, but like they kind of suck. Like, that's the most I'll ever buy into it. That's the same thing. Like, if a Taylor Swift song's on the radio, like, it is what it is. But like, I don't like her. I'm not going to buy her concert tickets.
Is it Taylor's version or is it the original version?
I don't know. She's blocked on my Spotify.
Wow. That's a lot. Wow. Well, I guess we should move on before the Taylor Swifties come after our podcast.
And literally going to bury us.
This is going to be our last podcast. So, I have enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun, Jade. The Swifties will bury us. I'm going to go to upload this episode and it's going to be, before we can even post it, it's going to be blocked. It's going to be just like, nope.
100%.
You can't upload this.
They're all
going to
come
from
my throat.
The AI.
Listen,
AI is a Swiftie.
The music you want to listen to. You know, I mean, like, honestly, listen to Taylor Swift over Chris Brown. But like,
oh, absolutely. At least Taylor Swift doesn't beat people, exes,
you know. So it's like, at the end of the day, if you want to enjoy her music, enjoy her music. Like, that's fine.
See, you know, I think that's why I have a soft spot for Rihanna too, because like, that's
same. Like, know, if you want to listen to Rihanna, if you want to listen to Beyonce, like do your thing. Like, it's not like they're necessarily horrible
Queen
people.
Bee?
It's just
being Queen
B. People.
You know, you're just gonna call her Beyonce, like, first name basis.
Yeah, we're friends. She gave me blue eyes. She gave me her golden rocking horse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God damn.
Solid gold.
I know what you're talking about. Jesus Christ.
Disgusting.
We're off the rails right now. Well, Jade, you know what? I know that you especially have been watching a lot of stuff this week. So why don't we do a special edition of Jade's Rex?
Jade's Rex. Oh my God. So right off the bat here, this is a new series that dropped on Netflix that looked totally dumb and I thought nothing of it. So of course I threw it on to be like background noise, ended up falling in love with it. It's called Obliterated. It is dumb, by the way. I wasn't wrong, but like, it's that good kind of dumb where it's, you know, it's just, it's funny. It's enjoyable. Like, you don't have to think too hard about it. It's very much along the lines of like FUBAR, if you guys liked FUBAR. And it's like a comedic version of kind of like The Recruit or Night Agent. So basically it's like a group of special agents were put on this task force in Las Vegas to stop an arms dealer from buying a portable nuclear bomb, right? None of it's plausible. Everything about it literally the entire show could never happen.
Say, by the title alone, I did not think that this is where this show was going.
So
when you said obliterate, I was thinking either like this is a frat boy drunken night out thing.
Here's the twist is they're there to catch this guy. They think they've caught him, so they decide to spend a night of debauchery in Vegas and they get fucked up beyond belief.
Oh my.
And then the next morning they find out that the bomb is still there and they have, I think it's like 9 hours to find it. So literally the rest of the show is all 9 hours and they're like,
how is this a series?
Still fucking high.
This just sounds like a 90 minute movie. This sounds like a 90 minute movie.
It works. It's so good.
Wild.
It's so good. It's like, it's dumb. Like I said, like you cannot think of this as anything real at all, because it's none of this could exist.
So when you say suspend disbelief, you have to suspend everything that you know
everything
in reality. Let go of the rules of reality and you will enjoy the show.
Exactly. Like, don't think too hard about it. Just enjoy what's happening. Now, on the flip side, this is a Hulu original series. Actually, it's an Irish series. Oh. I think that premieres on Sky over there. And it's called Obituary. And it's about a woman in a small town in Ireland.
This is getting pushed to me on Sky right now.
See? Who writes obituaries. But when the paper basically starts cutting costs and the editor makes a joke, oh, well, if you want to write more obituaries, then maybe you should find more dead bodies. She decides to take matters into her own hands.
I'm already in. This sounds amazing.
Yes. It's dark humor, a little tongue-in-cheek, like very kind of along the lines of like Dead Like Me. Really, really good. Really interesting. Here's another one is I finally got around to watching the show Poker Face on Peacock. I believe this was Emmy nominated. People were talking about this. I just now got Peacock. So
me too. I'm just diving in, Jade. So like you've sent me like a ton of recommendations on Peacock and I'm like, I'm going to check this out. Yeah.
So Poker Face stars Natasha Lyonne and basically it's kind of a crime comedy where it sets up as she basically has a bullshit radar. She can tell when anyone is lying, which makes her kind of an asset to these casino owners. And she ends up getting herself in hot water and finds herself on the run. And every episode, as she drives across the states to get away from this casino owner, she ends up coming across a murder and she always ends up solving it using her kind of lie detector bullshit skills. But it's always in this like funny, campy, weird kind of way. Like, it's a fun little romp. I like it. I like that each episode is kind of its own thing. There's like the overarching story, but like each episode is different. Then we have, speaking of a lot of true crime happening here, based on a true story, starring Kayla Cuoco.
I didn't know she was in something new.
Yes. So I've been wanting to watch this actually. So I was kind of excited that when I finally got Peacock, I was like, oh, I can watch this now. And it's Chris Messina as well. And they're a couple in LA who are kind of struggling to make ends meet when they realize that their plumber is a notorious serial killer. And they decide to blackmail him into doing a podcast with them.
Amazing.
In order to make money.
Amazing. I'm already interested. This sounds amazing.
Josh, it's so fucking funny, as obviously people with podcasts, like that whole element is hilarious. They go to a crime con and there's these like really famous true crime podcasts like sisters, and they basically play on the entire fact of like they're like there's a commercial where true crime sisters are like, yeah, we just sold our podcast for $6 million. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, like we wouldn't be here where we is. And also, so, you know, the victims, it's really about the victims. But also remember to rate, review, follow, and subscribe. And you can also find us on our Patreon. And I was like, oh, man, so good.
Oh, amazing.
So fucking good. And then last but not least is Twisted Metal, which is a mini series based on the video games Twisted Metal.
When you said Twisted Metal, I was like, you mean the PlayStation games from like, are they still making Twisted Metal?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? I haven't played Twisted Metal since I was like 15 or 16 years old. Like those were like late 90s, same. Early 2000s.
PS1 was
Twisted Metal PS2. Was fucking because you remember Twisted Metal came out at a time when like Need for Speed was like a top game on the computer. Like remember
a lot of car games like GTA, Gran Turismo.
But this was like completely different because you could just fuck shit up and it was amazing.
Because you were basically put in like an arena and then you would just fight all these other cars, all these other like weapons and shit. And of course, the most iconic character from Twisted Metal is I forget his name, but the clown that drives the ice cream truck.
Oh my God. Holy fuck.
Obviously, he's a major character in the show. So this show stars Anthony Mackie and Stephanie Beatriz. And I say miniseries because it got canceled, but really, I think one season is probably all it needed, to be honest. You know, but I think it's really fun if you were a fan of the games, there's so many Easter eggs in the show. Like, they really put thought into how to incorporate it. Yeah. But if you never played the game, it's still super enjoyable. It's a post-apocalyptic world where there's these kind of safe cities, and everyone else who was like a criminal or kind of rejected from society ends up in the outskirts, where they're left to survive with nothing but cars and guns. And Anthony Mackie plays the character John Doe, who he's what's called a milkman because he makes deliveries between these kind of safe cities. And it's rare that a milkman ever returns to a city because they usually die. So he's like kind of on a journey to figure out who he is, hence why his name is John Doe. But anyways, really good, fun, action, campy. Yeah.
Movie review. First look. Well, Jade, I think it's time to take a first look at our movie this week, which is Five Nights at Freddy's. It's streaming now on Peacock, which is one of the reasons we wanted to watch it. I want to get some good use out of that new streaming platform. But Jade, I'm going to toss it back to you real quick. First thoughts on the movie Five Nights at Freddy's.
You know, Josh, I think I was hindered a little bit watching this because I've seen Willy's Wonderland. And I just kept comparing the two, and I hate to say, but Five Nights at Freddy's will never live up to it. And so I feel like that has affected my perception of the movie.
And you know what? I think I'll even go a step further here, Jade. Not only have I, obviously, you know, we've reviewed it here on the show, seen Willy's Wonderland, but I've also played the game a little bit. Like, I've gone online, I've seen the game, I understand what the game's about.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like a movie where anyone actually played the game or watched anything about the fan fiction or Willy's Wonderland or anything. They just kind of went, we have the elements, we're going to make a movie, and it's going to kind of be based on Five Nights at Freddy's. And don't get me wrong, there were some great Easter eggs. There's some little things here or there that I thought was entertaining. But it's almost like no one in the cast and no one on the producing or directorial team actually knew anything about the source material before they made this movie. And that was frustrating to watch because I was like, I don't mind. I feel like they were trying to go in one of two directions. I feel like they were trying to either make – actually, I'll take that back. I think there were two directions they could have gone with this. They could have gone super campy, or they could have gone super violent. And I think they tried to make a serious – horror movie, and they failed because they for some reason wanted to make it PG-13, and it
isn't
enough.
Mistake right there. Yes. It should have been R. What are we talking about?
Absolutely been a rated R. Because look, you can't convince me that anyone under the age of 25 even cares about this movie. I would argue below the age of 30 cares about this movie.
Also, the game itself is violent, so it's very like just violent. Lean into it. And not only that, but I'm like, the fact that all the kills take place off screen, like what the fuck? Missing out on everything.
It's not a game that people are like playing to this day. It's not a game that like 12 year olds are online playing.
It's
so like
a little bit more nostalgic than anything.
It's all nostalgia is all it is. That's what I mean. Like, the only people that want to go see this are people our age, and I don't understand who they made this movie for, because it definitely wasn't for the people that actually enjoy Five Nights at Freddy's.
Do you think it was almost like a way to get people reinterested in the game? You know what I mean? Like, obviously that's a very common thing.
I could buy into that.
But like, we're going to make a movie to buy a product.
But like, are they selling the game anywhere? Because like, look, I'm not going out and buying Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, even if I saw it or knew of a new version.
What's weird is, you're right, is, you know what? I have so much more to say when we get to Trash and Treasure. I'll get to my laundry list. I could talk about this forever. Obviously.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to review our movie this week. It's Five Nights at Freddy's. It's streaming now on Peacock.
And now, our feature presentation.
Hi, this is Mike. I was just calling to see if that job that you offered was still available.
Yes. The security guard.
I will take anything.
This place was huge in the 80s with the kids. They shut it down years ago. The owner's just not ready to let it go yet.
I will work and you will sleep.
I understand.
Our movie this week is Five Nights at Freddy's. It's directed by Emma Tammy and written by Seth Cuddleback and Emma Tammy, with a story by Scott Cawthorn, who I believe also is the video game creator of Five Nights at Freddy's. But Emma Tammy and Seth Cuddleback really don't have too many credits to their name. Emma, she directed a few episodes of Into the Dark, which is a TV horror anthology series.
Oh, we've reviewed one of those.
Yeah, we did. And also a movie called The Wind, which also seems like a horror film. So this is very much her genre, it seems. The movie stars, of course, Josh Hutcherson, which we probably all know from The Hunger Games, or maybe Bridge to Terabithia.
Throwback.
We also have, was it Piper Rubio, right? Mm-hmm. Who's the young girl? Isn't her name also Piper in the
Abby
in the film? We also have Elizabeth, is it Lale? Who is, I think, most famous for You. I'm trying to think of somebody else. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's back. Yeah. And then we have, of course, one of our favorites, Matthew Lillard, who is famous for being Scooby-Doo in a live action version of that movie. And of course, also Scream. Yeah. The original killer.
Like, and also every 90s and 2000s movie.
Really ever. Is. He was in Hackers. He was in
Empire Records.
She's All That.
What was the one? Baseball one with Freddie Prinze Jr.? Summer Pitch or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that. Summer. Yeah. Ah, God. SLC Punk, right?
Oh, I think. Yeah, he's in that. Yeah. He's also in She's All That.
Yep. So and even in Descendants, he plays a small role in that.
He's in everything. Matthew Lillard. He's 13 Ghosts.
Oh, 13. Oh my God. He's in 13 Ghosts.
So fucking good. Yeah.
What a great movie. That movie.
Still terrifies me a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Right?
It's a terrifying movie, but it's a great movie. Jade, where do we even start? You know what? Jade, let's try to put a positive note on this. Let's start with the treasure. Jade, what did you particularly enjoy about this film?
I will say I did like the costumes or prosthetics of the animatronics. I thought they looked really good as far as like taking what's in a video game and bringing it to life. I felt like it matched what like a cheap animatronic would look like for this type of restaurant. We're thinking, you know, this is like Chuck E. Cheese level, but it also worked really well for practical effects purposes. You could tell that these are obviously costumes being worn by actors. And I think that works better for the performance as well. So I actually thought that was pretty well done, rather than going CGI.
I was saying, and even to echo that, I feel like even the CGI portions were used appropriately. Like, you know, sometimes I feel like you could really, like, especially for a movie like this, I feel like you could have really gotten into the green screen and like been like, we can do that in post, even with the budget they probably had for this movie. But it was subtle enough where it was, like you said, still believable in that it was mixed in appropriately with the practical effects.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I think that was a treasure for me and for you.
Yeah, you know, I think, oh God, it's just so hard. I'm going to mix this. I'm going to mix my treasure with who I think had the best performance in this film. And really, I think a surprise here is really Piper Rubio. You know, this is one of her, I think, first acting gigs, like real acting gigs that we've seen. She's had a couple of shorts, I think, and a couple of other indie flicks. Mm-hmm. But I could totally see her as someone who is an up and comer in Hollywood. I mean, I thought she really held her own in scenes with Josh Hutcherson, who's a veteran actor, and even with Matthew Lillard, and in some really kind of, challenging scenes. I mean, she's having to make us believe that people aren't there, you know, invisible people are there, the invisible friends that she has in the beginning. And then having us believe that these animatronics are real people who are both friendly at one point and equally terrifying in the next. So I really kind of enjoyed that because I really felt like she held her own. And I mean, too, even in her scenes with Josh Hutcherson, she's playing his sister in this movie, playing this difficult / autistic kind of a character that is in its own right, I think, a little bit, maybe the only multi-dimensional character in the entire film, arguably, based on what I, even Josh Hutcherson and who's the, I can't remember her name, Elizabeth Vail's character, who really just seemed to have one track the entire, and I don't think that's their fault. They're both great actors and actresses, but like, they didn't really branch beyond, I felt like, the little bit that they were given for this role.
That is so funny that you say that, because I don't remember Piper Rubio's performance at all.
Really?
Oh. She was like invisible to me as a character.
You think? Oh, see, I.
If anything, I was like,
she was the only one I was paying attention to. Well,
the whole time.
Well, Jade, I will say, for the purposes of the story, half the time, she really wasn't needed. Like, I will agree with that. Like, to the story,
it was an unnecessary character. But it was just, and that's obviously, that's not meant to put hate on her at all. It was just for the way the film is structured, to me, it generally was like her character was like, it, she was just kind of constantly a hindrance to every person there, especially Josh Hutcherson's. Like, she's essentially his foil, because she's why he can't hold like down, or like, not really why he can't hold down a job, but like, she's why like he has to take this shitty job. Like, she's why he's like,
he also physically attacks people. And
no,
like,
yeah, as, yeah, that too. Like, but like, you know what I mean? But like, it's like, she's kind of the one that's always like, and then like, you know, he has to fucking put his life on the line because she's like, I'm gonna play with these things, they're my friends. And I'm like,
well Jade, let's move to another positive. Who did your mind though had the best performance? That's a tough one. I know it's tough.
I guess there are four main actors. I want to go with Josh Hutcherson. I mean, look, we've seen him obviously give incredible performances before. He is a great actor, and I do think he still did a good job here with, again, what he was given. I do think, as far as like, the emotional range his character had to have, I think he worked well within that, because it was
which wasn't fucking much.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I feel like he took what he could, and like, he did the best that he could with it, and so, you know, that's admirable. And also, I'm just happy this put him back on the map a little bit for some people, because we love Josh Hutcherson. I want to see him in more things.
You know what's funny is, I think this movie coming out in conjunction, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I think this movie coming out in conjunction with the new Hunger Games movie put him back on the map, because everyone thought about, Josh Hutcherson, he was in Hunger Games, and I loved Hunger Games, and he's great. Yeah.
We miss him. Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if he snags up another major role after this.
He should. Like, something that actually uses his talents appropriately. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jade, let's get into it now, because I'm sorry, folks. We wanted to love this movie. We thought we were doing something good. We thought we were giving you an early Christmas present. I was honestly excited, Jade. And you know what?
Same.
I continued for half of the movie to try and be excited, because I thought better was coming. I thought more was coming. I thought the actual movie was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just like never came. I don't know why. Jade, what went wrong? What was trash? Why was it trash? What did they do to this movie that made it trash, when it so easily could have been one of the best movies of the year?
Well, I'll just dive straight in. First of all, they couldn't land on a single fucking storyline that made sense. It was like they had five ideas and they just threw them all out the wall.
And none of them got cut.
No. And then, so we have Josh Hutcherson's whole fucking backstory about his brother who gets kidnapped when he was a child, and he blames himself because he was supposed to be watching his brother, but he went to go after a Frisbee, which I'm like, that's
You were fucking 12. Like,
you're a child.
You could not have been responsible for anyone.
Your brother would have been kidnapped regardless, because what were you going to do? Are you going to fight a grown ass man? No.
Yeah.
You know, like, but anyways, but he's like haunted by this. He's like constantly fucking dreaming of that. We had to rewatch the kidnapping like seven times, which was a waste of time and so fucking annoying. Then on top of that, We have the whole storyline of him possibly losing custody over his little sister because his older sister
His absolute unhinged aunt.
Money grubbing.
Unhinged.
That's right. It's his aunt. Yeah. She's fucking nuts. Literally goes to get him fired, hires the babysitter and her boyfriend to go break in to like basically get him fired from his job so that he is proven to be like not a provider. Even talked
about killing him at one point.
Yes, total psychopath. All to basically, she just wants to get custody of her niece so that she can get the checks, which I'm like, they're not that much money.
I was going to say, you're getting state checks. You're not getting that much fucking money.
No. And on top of that, like, you still have to care for the child. So, like, kids are expensive. Anyways, all of that, so fucking unnecessary. None of that needs to happen. And then we have the whole storyline of like him meeting Vanessa, the cop. Who suspicious right off the bat because she's like, oh, this is part of my rounds. And I just like,
I knew she was the bad guy from the beginning. I was like, yep, this is
because no cop just checks in an abandoned fucking Chuck E. Cheese. They don't care. They literally don't care. I have watched cops stand in front of a liquor store while like kids are getting handed beers and they don't fucking care. They don't care. Okay. Like
Too much paperwork.
Exactly. Like that's just not part of their time. So immediately right off the bat, suspicious, but like then there's her whole storyline where it's like she turns out to be the daughter of the murderer. Then we have the backstory of the murderer who was kidnapping and murdering children and putting the bodies into the suits, and then their souls were attached to the suits, but then he's alive, but then it's his caseworker. Like, what in the actual fuck? Like, Jesus. It did not need to be this complicated. It should have just been he's down on his luck. If you wanted to keep the whole little girl aspect, make it his fucking daughter and make it he's lost his job multiple times. This is the only work he can get. And then make the whole thing happen in one fucking night. And he gets there and it should be he calls the cops and Vanessa is the one who shows up. And it's because she intercepted the call. And then make it be like she's just working with the soul of Afton, who's already dead. You know what I mean?
Like, I totally agree, because even by the time Matthew Lillard came back and was revealed as the one controlling everything, but then not even that, talk about layers, Jade. Then he's also the father of Vanessa. And we're like, why do I need all of that? What?
No.
Why do I? And then like,
none of that.
And then he like stabs her for no reason. And I'm like, what is happening? Right.
Like he's kept her alive all these years for what? And then just stabs her without a care in the world.
Well, and also she also has been covering for him and feeding him people.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden has a change of heart. And I'm like, wait,
they tried to sell it to us that it's because of the child.
Dude, Jade, we spent like 45 minutes on backstory, got none of theirs. And all of a sudden within 10 seconds, they can resolve all of that. And I'm like,
yes,
this is just trash. And
it's poor writing is when they have to rattle everything off at once of here's what's happening.
Well, Jade, and also that's not even what bothered me the most. Like we got so bogged down in backstory that we barely got anything of what we actually wanted in this movie. And that was animatronic nightmare fuel, murdering people to death. And aside from one kill that I can remember where they chopped that girl in half, every murder happens off screen.
Off screen.
Literally every single one. And I'm like,
it's so fucking annoying. And so fast too, because it's like we open with the first security guard immediately being murdered.
Which, Jade, this is where I have my first question. Mm-hmm. This guy was running for his life from something that he was terrified of, and he was spending like 3 minutes unscrewing a screw to get into a vent. Like, look, I understand vents are part of the video game and that's like an Easter egg thing, but like that man in a terrified state spent a solid 2 minutes unscrewing a latch. And I was like, dude, if you're terrified and you think something's killing you, you are not spending that amount of time unscrewing something.
Look, at that point, I'd be like, I'm just going to prepare to fight. Like
I'm either fighting or I'm going to run past something. Like I am going to run as fast as I can towards the door. And if something grabs me, great. If it doesn't, I'm going to run right through it.
It sounds like my worst fucking nightmare. And it turns out to be exactly that. Because you're literally trapped.
Yeah.
where can you go past that? You know, I'd rather be in the room, at least have a fighting chance. But like, yeah, it's like he immediately dies. And then by the time we get like our next kill, it's like all at the same time, all these people just break in and immediately it's like boom, 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 four people dead within like 5 minutes. And you're like, okay, that was that. And then that's all we get for the rest of the movie, because the only other potential victims are just Mike, Vanessa, and Abby. And we already know that Mike and Abby aren't going to die. Yeah, and
100%.
They let Vanessa live. And I was like, okay. So there was no stakes. Again, like we talk about this, I think, every fucking time. Like if you don't have stakes, then there's no, like, it's like risk.
Especially
and
in a horror movie. Especially in a horror movie.
Yes, you have to have it in a horror film. And like, not only that, but like, also, not with the convoluted storylines, but like the fact that, you know, I get that they're trying to go off the video game, but in the video game, Afton dies before like Freddy Fazbear's and all the animatronics are put in the pizzeria, and like all the killings and stuff with the animatronics happens after he's dead, because his soul inhabits the rabbit's body.
Thank you, Jay.
They decided. They chose to have him be alive. So my question is, how is he controlling the souls of the dead children then? Because like, wouldn't it, because I believe in the game, he can control them because he himself is also dead and he is a soul. And the souls have attached themselves to the animatronics because he hid the dead bodies in animatronics. So like, that's fine. I can accept that. But in this, we're supposed to believe that these kids, these dead kids are like, murdering people, and somehow this man who's alive is controlling them. Like, how?
That's what I was so confused about. That's what I was so confused with. That was my next question. Cause yes. I'm like, wait, at least in not to compare this movie to Willy's Wonderland, but at least in the other film, it made sense to me, because they were like, okay, there was some shit that went down. These people died, and the souls of these killers entered the animatronics, and now they're angry because they're animatronics and they're already murderers in the past life. That all makes sense to me.
They're occultist killers. Yes. So at least everyone they kill is like a sacrifice. And that makes sense to me.
And that's what didn't make sense here, is like, okay, you had a kid and somehow you got their soul to be in the animatronic, and now you control their soul, but you're alive. Like you said, it doesn't make any sense. And also too, the wildest thing about this was that we discover that this is true. Like all the characters discover this is true halfway through the movie, and everyone just accept it and go, this is great. And not only that, Jade, the wildest question that I've written down in my notes is, why the fuck, when you discover that there are supernatural beings that are inhabiting these terrifying monster animatronics, why would you bring your little sister who you're trying to protect twice? I'd be like, hey, listen, I know, little sister, that you really enjoyed being with them, but this is not a safe environment for you.
Josh, that
so I will never bring you back there. I will never bring you back there again.
Outrageous. He brought her into the building at this point, already knowing that they were fucking murderers. Also, okay. So I have so many things. I just want to know how the fuck this makes sense. So remember when like Abby's back at the house with the other babysitter?
Yes.
Or her, no, sorry, not her other babysitter, with her aunt.
And okay.
Fucking Freddy Fazbear shows up at the house, which I'm like, how did he fucking
that didn't make
get
sense
there?
Either.
Then he's like, come with me, Abby. Join us at the thing. And she's like, oh, okay. And then they fucking hop in an Uber. The Uber driver turns around and he's like, whoa. And like looking at Freddy, I'm like, if that giant fucking animatronic
Dude, that Uber would have canceled so fast. He would have been like,
popped
nope, get
up. First of all, an unaccompanied minor, just a little girl booking an Uber. Sorry.
Which I'm sure happens all the time.
Yeah. But like, and then this animatronic bear, I'd be like,
you both can get the fuck out.
Things on?
Yeah.
Adding up. I don't know what this is. Get the fuck out of my car. Like, I was like, none of that was necessary. I don't know why this plot was used. Then are we supposed to believe that the aunt is dead? Because remember Freddy's like, oh, your aunt's so silly. She's sleepy. And they just show her like body on the ground, but it's like half hidden by the couch. So it's like, we don't know if she's alive or dead, which is weird. And then on top of that too, like they tried to connect the ghost children to Abby by because in the beginning it's set up that Abby has imaginary friends and she's like, oh, you're sitting on my imaginary friend. She has all these drawings of her with all of her imaginary friends. And then later Mike's like, oh my God. So you've been drawing the Freddy's Fazbear friends this entire time. These have been your imaginary friends. Yeah. And she's like, yeah.
The drawings are wild.
And then he goes, he literally asks her, he says, so your imaginary friends were just these ghosts the whole time? She goes, yeah, like matter of fact. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's something
she changes the drawing, remember?
Her drawings have power over these children suddenly, yes. Which has never been brought up before until the last minute. And then he's like, no, draw the rabbit being bad. And I'm like,
he's what? Like, show them what he did.
And I literally was like, what? They can hear you. They're right here. So like,
not only that, but she drew that picture in like 0.2 seconds. And I was like,
and it didn't make any sense even then. I was like, okay, now they know. Now they just know. Yeah.
It's weird. And also, how were the ghost children inhabiting his dreams? And then also I hated the fact they also connected his brother. So Afton apparently kidnapped and killed his little brother. So he was like, it was you the whole time? And I'm like, I hate this.
Stupid.
So much. I hate this. So much. Like, it's just so convoluted for nothing. For nothing. Now, listen, I know you said this earlier to compare. But again, Willy's Wonderland, they did it better. Because literally the plot was so simple.
Yes.
We know nothing about Nicolas Cage's character. He doesn't even speak the entire fucking time. And he keeps drinking energy drinks. We never find out why. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because literally he shows up in town. He needs a job. So they are like, well, you can go work as a custodian over at that like abandoned little pizzeria place thing. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
He goes there for one night. A bunch of teenagers break in to go party. Perfect. Perfect. I don't need no convoluted thing. Just they're like, hey, this place is abandoned. Let's go drink here. Perfect. Breaks in. Those are all your fucking victims. That's how you get all your kills in. And then it's just Nick Cage fucking murdering satanic robotic like animatronics the whole time. And it was
amazing.
And then even the explanation was great. It was that a satanic cult basically murder these children, and when they all died by police fire, their evil souls inhabited the animatronics, and then they've been like basically doing human sacrifices of whoever works there or comes in there ever since. And I was like, that's it. I literally don't need to know anything else.
It was perfect. That's all I needed. Like, and Jade, I mean, we say this a lot too, but I was literally in my head editing parts of the movie that didn't need to be there. Like I was watching it, I was going, this movie could have been honestly 115, not even 130. This could have been a 115. Like I think you could have stretched it to 120 and that's all you needed.
Josh, I could have got that bitch down to an hour, to be honest. There was so much I would have cut.
Yeah. I mean, but what's funny is you could have cut the story down to that. It still would have made sense. It would have been better because you would have cut off all this ridiculous storylines you didn't need, but also you could have added in like some actual kills or some actual action sequences that would have been so much better.
When it got to the end, I literally was like, oh, is this the end? Because I expected more to happen.
Like, there was no finale. There was no like real like, oh, okay.
Like, it literally not made any sense. And also, they took out some of the things from the video game that would have made it more interesting. Like in the game, I know, like, when you turn lights on, like, the animatronics, like, kind of disappear. So, like, lights are a way to get rid of them. That would have been so amazing if you would have done that. If they were kind of, like, starting to, like, come in on him. And then he, like, runs and grabs, like, a flashlight. And as soon as he shines it, like, they disappear. Like, it's fucking terrifying, but then also gives him a chance to get away. And then, like, you know, like, I just, these, like, little things that are part of the game, like, even the security cameras, like, in the game, the security cameras are a big part of it.
Which is why I don't understand why they didn't, because we have so many shots inside the security room, and we only get, like, 3 or 4 shots of security cameras.
Yes, that's part of the whole gameplay, is catching them on the cameras. And I'm like, and we barely get, I'm like, I don't know. Why certain decisions were made. I don't know if Scott Cawthon got cut out of the, because like he has a,
he was a producer.
As
the, I saw, he's a producer on the
show. He's a producer. So I don't know, maybe he didn't have creative direction.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like say,
maybe
because
he didn't care.
That too. I mean, I get it. Paycheck's a paycheck. But.
Well, Jade, I only have one quote that I want to share because this was not a quotable movie at all. For being 2 hours long,
no,
the quotes are fucking horrible. The only one I enjoyed was Matthew Lillard when they're sitting there in the movie and he goes, "There, it's him and Josh Hutcherson, and he's about to offer him the job, and he goes, well, Josh goes, how's the pay? And he goes, the pay is not great, but good news is the hours are worse. And I was like, that sounds like just jobs anywhere. Like,
in general.
Hey, how is it? How is it there? Well, the pay's not great, but the hours are worse. And you're like, oh, great, I'll take it.
So
I'll take that.
It's a job.
Well, Jade, where do you rate this film?
Oh.
Oh, do you have one? Do you have a quote that you want to share?
Maybe? Oh, yeah. It's interesting because it's not like the quote itself is good, but it's the context. So this is basically after Mike finds out that the ghost people want Abby, and he's like, oh, you knew the whole time? And she's like, I tried to warn you in my own way. And I was like,
how?
In your own way? In your own way? Bitch, all you say is they're demonic and they're trying to kill you. Don't bring your sister here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was that simple. That made me laugh out loud. I was like, okay.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Wild. But yeah.
Where do you rate this film, Jade?
I mean, I think it's no surprise to anyone. This is a trash for me. And it sucks. I feel like we've had a lot of trashes recently, but
yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I wanted so bad for this to be good. I mean, we were really excited about it. I love the game.
I would have gone to see this movie in theaters. I would have gone to
so
see
it. So would
movie.
I.
Yeah.
I think had if you still lived here, I think we would have gone and watched 100%. It at the in the theaters when it came 100%. Out. But
How bad would that have been? I would have been so angry going into that theater, coming out of that theater. I would have been so angry.
I would have been pissed. I would have been like, yeah, we have to go watch another movie now because this was
absolutely. I would have paid top dollar, like whatever. Yeah. Let's go watch anything to cleanse that out of my
anything
mind.
Else.
Yeah.
All I can say is skip Five Nights at Freddy's, go watch Willy's Wonderland. Last it was streaming on Hulu, but you guys can look it up and see where it's at now. 10 times better. It's same concept, but Nicolas Cage and his eyebrow acting is everything you ever needed and more.
Jade, I'm going to go a step further. This is a dumpster fire. This is absolute trash. I will never be watching this again. I will never recommend this to anyone because you know why? Mm-mm. It's for what the fact that you just said, Willy's Wonderland exists. If you are a fan of the game of Five Nights at Freddy's and you want to watch something entertaining, go watch Willy's Wonderland because that I would recommend to literally anyone that loves video games or Nicolas Cage. If you just want something entertaining to watch, I would recommend that movie. I will not, you know, hey, good job, Josh Hutcherson. Glad to see you back in movies again that you're making money and people are paying attention. But this was not the movie for you. I hope you find something else because this movie wasn't it. This is absolute dog shit. Like, do not go see this. Don't get Peacock because of this movie.
Josh.
Yeah. It's bad.
God, no, bad. No. Literally, like, don't spend money or time on this. Like, it's not worth it. Like, I think you kind of said this earlier, like, unless you're like a mega fan and you just want to see a piece of the universe, which I don't know, as a fan, I'd be fucking pissed.
Pissed.
But really, there's no reason to watch this.
No. So
sorry.
I guess with that, don't go watch our movie this week, which was Five Nights at Freddy's. It's streaming now on Peacock.
In the 80s, kids went missing. The police searched Freddy's top to bottom.
Hello?
They never found them. That's why the place shut down.
There are ghost children possessing giant robots. Thanks for the heads up.
Once again, our movie this week was Five Nights at Freddy's. It's streaming now on Peacock, but you can forget that you even know that movie exists because that would be our advice here on the show.
Yeah.
Well, Jade, Christmas is coming. It's hard to believe. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I haven't fucking put up a tree yet. Like, it's just like all my stuff, like all our Christmas ornaments are still on a getting shipping container somewhere. Like, hasn't felt like Christmas yet. I don't know. You know, yeah, like it's just, I don't know what it is.
Same. I think a big part, well, for me, it's like, I don't have family around that normally do our Christmas things. I haven't put up decorations either. And I haven't been out and about, because I feel like usually if you're in the stores a lot, you have, there's like the decor and the music, or like if you're in certain specialty bars and stuff like that, you're probably seeing it more. But I literally become a hermit.
Yeah. My wife did treat me last weekend, though. We did go out to this place called Hole in the Wall.
Christmas bars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jade is wild here. Like, they go out. There's this place called, I think it's Ginger Man. Ginger Man is the bar in Dublin. And like, they, if Christmas was a bar, it would be this place. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. It was like, you walk in and there is tinsel on the fucking ceilings. There are Christmas decorations scattered all around the rafters. That's
how it should be.
There's like fake snow. Jade, they have Santa Claus. They have Santa Claus come on the hour every hour. Literally, they announce it with an elf and a bell. He hands out merch from the bar and like takes photos with people. It's fucking great. It's,
honestly, though, it makes so much sense. Ireland's pretty close to the North Pole. So,
yeah, in truth. Although we were talking to the elf and he was like, we were asking him and he goes, oh yeah. He goes, we do this for Christmas. And then our next holiday is going to be St. Patrick's Day. So they go all out for St. Patrick's Day, which makes sense, Ireland. Then they go out for Pride. And then they do Halloween. And I was like, I want to come back for Halloween. Absolutely.
Oh, like, Halloween is supposed to be like sick there because it's a pagan holiday.
Yes.
And that's where a lot of it started.
100%. I'm totally down. Like, and two, like, if they go this hard for Christmas, what does Pride look like in that bar? It's got to be fucking wild. It's got to be off the chain.
I will say what I loved when I was in Iceland, when I was in Reykjavik, I went in like mid-December, and that's when they started rolling out all of their Christmas beers. And so like Tuborg, which is like one of the beer companies, did a Santa bar crawl. So they had like their Santas, like they were all dressed up. And they would go for like to like each bar and they're giving away like beads and like hats and like light up shit. And like they had this, so these spinning wheels were like really, really popular like in Reykjavik. So it's like you pay to like spin the wheel and then you could get all kinds of weird. So it could be like you get a pint of like a free pint of beer or like a free shot or like you, whatever. There's like, it's like crazy, or like there's like a game on there or whatever. And they had like that. So it's like you would like spin the wheel and I don't know. It was a fun, and you just follow the Santas from like bar to bar. So it's like wherever you went, you just like, you just go like, you're like, follow the Santas. And like, you just walk with it. It was so much fun. And I was like, God, I want stuff like that here. It also just sucks because, you know, I'm in Florida. So there's no seasonal change to make it feel like, so it's like you, it's like you can't even wear like an ugly sweater and go outside. You're going to be fucking roasted. You know what I mean? Like you're going to be sweating out your asshole. So it's just like different vibes.
It is. The only thing that does make it feel seasonally, it doesn't really snow here. Like I guess snow is pretty rare. And if it does, it's just kind of like a dusting in Dublin. Mm. But like last week was fucking cold. Like it was in the 30s. So you're like, holy shit, it's wintertime. Like it's actual winter. And it gets dark at like fucking 4 o'clock. So like you get to about, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the evening and you're like, is it 5 or is it 11? Like, I don't know what time it is. You're like I feel tired. Yeah. It's
because you guys are so much further from the equator.
It's weird. And when I was telling Danielle, I was like, man, it's been a long time since I've lived up in the northern part of the world. And I was like, what's going to be even more like fucking rattling is when in the summertime it doesn't get dark till like 9:30 at night.
Love that though.
Yeah, it's nice, but like it's weird because you'll be sitting there and you're like, it's 9:30 and the fucking sun is still out. Like that's weird.
You know what's crazy is my sister up in Wyoming, well, they get fucking snow in October. Literally on Halloween, I think they had like 8 inches of snow. It was nuts. But like it really doesn't snow on Christmas that much there. Like it's not super common in a lot of areas that it snows on Christmas because real winters are like January, February.
Yes.
But every time I've gone up there, it snowed on Christmas.
That's cool. So that's always fun. That's always fun.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it me?
maybe it is you. Well, Jade, in the spirit of Christmas, we didn't say we had deviated from our plan because we were originally going to do all holiday movies. And we thought we were making a good choice with going with Five Nights at Freddy's. And we were terribly, terribly wrong with that choice. So what better than to go back to some Christmas classics. And Jade, you suggested this movie. It's one that I almost forgot about, but I have watched this as a kid multiple times, but I don't think I've ever watched it as an adult. So what movie is this that we're going to be reviewing?
This is Jack Frost, circa 1998, starring Michael Keaton, where he is a distant father who can't keep his promises, dies in a car accident, and 1 year later comes back as a snowman who has a one final chance to put things right with his son before he's gone forever.
If I'm remembering this movie right, Jade, doesn't it have something to do with a harmonica? Like, isn't he in a band or something? Like, isn't that how he comes back? He's in a band, right? And then, like, he comes back through,
like...
I think
that's why he's, like, distant from his son. It's because he's, like, travels and stuff,
but wasn't the band kind of sucky? Like wasn't he still
kind of
making...
Yeah, no, he's not,
like, famous. No, he was, like, kind of making it, but kind of not making it kind of a thing. Like...
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's... Jade, and two... this has me thinking, because this movie was made, what, like late 90s, right? Something like that?
1998.
What is it with the 90s and people's parents dying? Like, that was just a thing in almost every movie or TV show I watched growing up, is like either they were an orphan or at some point in the movie, one of the parents died.
I feel like it's either they were like, what's the best way we can have this child experience some sort of significant change? Or it had to do with the fact that probably all the writers in the 90s, you have to think probably, what, if they're like 30, their parents could have possibly died, what, in the 60s in like Vietnam War? Or if they're even older than that, their parents maybe died in World War II. So maybe they're like,
or Korea,
this
or something.
My life. And I lived it, and therefore I'm going to write about a dead parent because I have a dead parent. And that just was like the majority, because, you know, at this time it's probably like all white men writing in Hollywood.
That's true. I see that.
They're like, what changed me the most? Parent dying.
The three things that just stick with me from movies of that era are parents dying, children and adults having relationships.
Yes, we talked about this before. Right? Creepy.
Bizarre.
What is that?
But like, why did everyone accept it at that time? Why did we all just go, that's fine. It's a movie. It's a blank check. Fine. Totally fine for a 12-year-old child to be kissing a 20, 30-something-year-old woman. Totally fine. Totally fine. Yeah. That and quicksand. What was with quicksand in the 90s? Why was that such a danger?
So much quicksand.
So much quicksand.
Every adventure movie that came out, gotta be quicksand.
Quicksand. Like,
you're gonna encounter it.
I thought in my adult life I'd have to deal with.
Also,
never once.
Quicksand in real life, very slow.
Much slower. Like
misnomer.
Yeah. Well, Jade, since we'll be reviewing Jack Frost, it's streaming. Did we say it's streaming now on Hulu, I believe?
Yes. And also AMC Plus if you have it. And HBO Max.
And HBO
Max. So look at that. Ooh.
Oh, or is this called now, Jade? Max.
It's so hard. I can't
see much. Well, Jade, where can folks find us between now and next week?
You can follow us on all our socials. We are on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram as Our Taste is Trash. You can also find us on our website, ourtasteistrash.com.
Come back next week when we review our movie. It's a throwback. It's Jack Frost. It's streaming now on Hulu. To get ourselves a treat.